Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Thanks, Derek. To start with, I just want you to watch a video. You've probably seen this before if you've been here for a while, so have a watch.
Have you ever wondered why so many people pray? Well, Albert Einstein said that there's really only two ways to live, as if nothing's a miracle or as if everything's a miracle. Either life's a fluke and we're just a bunch of highly evolved animals on a big rock lost in space, or there's a creator behind creation, a God behind goodness. And if so, then connecting with him in prayer is pretty much the most mind-blowing thing you can do. Archaeologists keep digging stuff up that shows we've always prayed. People of many faiths pray daily. Even atheists admit to praying sometimes. Real prayer is a two-way conversation with the living God who loves and listens to the things we say. Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name and it'll be done." We have a chance to ask for peace, healing, help, or whatever we need. Life matters, you matter, your choices, thoughts, prayers, and actions echo in eternity. But in case you hadn't noticed, God is pretty much invisible and not always easy to hear. There are distractions, disappointments, and questions that we all share. That's why 24/7 prayer does stuff to help thousands of people in hundreds of places connect with God in new ways. People are learning to pray by just praying. Why don't you take on the challenge of a 24/7 prayer room? Just gather your friends, find a place, pick a week, get creative in the space, and fill every hour of the week with a chain of prayer. Prayer vigils like these have been changing lives for 2,000 years, and today millions are discovering that God's real, life's a miracle, and the most powerful thing you can ever do is to pray.
So when we come to pray, it's sometimes quite hard, isn't it? And I know myself, I find it very hard to kind of pause, to just be still. I get a bit twitchy. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't really sit still for too long. I've had a recent accident. I had to sit still for about 4 weeks, and it was really, really hard. And the same thing happens when it comes to prayer for me. I also find it really hard to just pause rather than kind of rush in with a ton of frantic requests and maybe a bit of praise tacked on, if I remember. So recently I've been really trying to consciously pause and take a few slow, deep breaths and just focus on God. And I was reading about some guys from the kind of 18th century, and they used to practice this. And it does take practice, where they would take some very slow deep breaths in and slow deep breaths out, and as they breathe out, they would repeat a kind of praise phrase. That's really hard to say, praise phrase. So they would say my Lord and my God as they breathe out, or they would say He is with me and for me. And I found practically that kind of helps. That's helped me. And so usually when I try that, stuff piles in. Things from my DIY to-do list, which never gets any shorter. Work stuff that I've got going on at work. Family stuff that's happening there. What we need from the shops, what's running low in the cupboards. All of those things just kind of fly into my brain, and it really does take take a bit of practice. And I read this really, really good kind of analogy, which I found helpful, which I thought I'd share with you. This guy was saying that being silent, being pausing before you pray, is a bit like sitting in a rowing boat in the middle of a calm lake. And as soon as you sit there calmly, a speedboat comes by, and there are all the thoughts that crowd in, and you get the boat starts rocking, and as the wake hits you. But he said, if you just sit there quietly in your rowing boat, gradually the waves will subside again, and the lake will become calm again, and you can just focus your thoughts. And I found that is true. Those thoughts crowd in, but if you just take a few more deep breaths and be calm, you can just sit there and rest and wait and pause and ask God to speak to you. So I thought it would be really good if we actually had a go at this. Liz is always saying to me, so what does that practically look like in the real world? Because we can talk about a lot of stuff, but actually we've got to practically do this stuff, haven't we? And so I thought... Just for a couple of minutes, it would be really good for us to kind of have a go at that. And before we move on to the next phase of what we're talking about this morning, which is the letter R, which is rejoicing. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to do some craft. The kids have got, Jane's got some craft ready for the kids and that kind of stuff. So what I'd like to do is just, if you just focus on the previous slide, I think, Lou, sorry. So just have a look at that. And then we're just going to pause for 2 whole minutes of absolute quiet and ask God to speak to us today and reveal himself. Okay. Let's pause for 2 minutes. Thank you. Wow, you did really well there. It's hard, isn't it? It's really hard just to sit very quietly. That was amazing. Next one, please. So I just want us to think about this. Just maybe pray this, just together. As we enter this kind of Christmas season, so let's pray this together. Lord, in this busy season, please help us to be still. We are opening our ears now to hear amazing things from you, quietly preparing our hearts for the wonder of your coming at Christmas. Amen. Let me quote you this. This is from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So we're going to move now and do some singing, and then Liz is going to talk. So we're going to sing 2 songs together, and the music group are going to come up.
Be still, for the pray quickly. Father God, thank you that we can wait for you. No matter what this week has looked like, felt like for us, we wait for you. We know that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In everything, Lord, that is happening across the world and in our nation, in our own families and homes and workplaces and schools and colleges, Lord, we lift you high and we say, Jesus, you are King. Lord Jesus, you have the last word. Lord, we thank you that we can learn to rejoice in any circumstance. This is your will for us in Christ Jesus, that we would learn how to rejoice in you. Lord, help us now just to make our hearts kind of to get our hearts, to encourage our hearts to really focus on you and to give you the honour and glory. Help us to lay down the things which would seek to hinder us, the things which worry us or bother us, the things which have made us sad. Lord, we just give them to you now. And we just ask that you would enable us to worship you with everything that we have, our whole hearts and our whole lives. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high, Lord, our hearts just focused on you in praise. We bless you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just do a corporate reading together. I thought we don't do this very often. It's from Psalm 5. It's just a short passage, just to help us to think about kind of from leading from pausing into rejoicing. So let's all read that together. Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. Okay, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about rejoicing very briefly. We've done some singing. We are going to sing some more kind of joyful songs in a moment. But I just wanted to just to encourage you. Sometimes rejoicing isn't that easy. Sometimes for me, I feel lots of joy in my heart. I can think about lots of things that God has done, and I'm right there. And as soon as put a worship song on or something, I really connect with God, and I'm really there. And other times, I've got to admit, it's really difficult, particularly on a Monday morning. I find the drive into work particularly depressing, usually stuck in traffic, but mostly just kind of thinking about the stuff that lies ahead, the things that have kind of been. But I just wanted to encourage you guys that there is something very sweet, I believe, to God. He absolutely loves it when we rejoice and we worship him, no matter how we're feeling. So in spite of what's going on, we can really worship him. And actually, the Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. So when we praise him, he comes and he's with us. And that is such an encouragement to me. So I just wanted to, just bring that to us. So even if we don't really feel like it, we can still find something to be thankful for, or something to to bless God for. Okay. So now we're going to sing again. Jane has very kindly done some amazing looking craft stuff. It's not just for kids, but they are small chairs. So if you want a bigger chair, you can bring that. And some lovely kind of rejoicing craft activities. Just want to encourage you as we sing together. During the second song, we're going to take up our offering. That's part of our worship as well. So, just to encourage you really to worship God. We're going to sing All Hail the Lamb, which is a personal favourite of mine. So, and as we think about Jesus coming into all the muck and the dirt of the world, we just, he's the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And we thank God for sending him. We thank Jesus for coming willingly to do that for us. Okay. Feel free to stand if you would like to.
Let's just pray and thank God for the offering. Lord, we thank you that you do not only want our money, but our very lives as well. And Lord, we pray that you will bless this money that we've given this morning and use it for your purposes here. We pray this in your name. Amen. So as we move from rejoicing to asking, this is probably what you think about first when you think about prayer, asking God for stuff. And but you might ask this question: if God already knows everything, why do we need to ask him for stuff? But it's important, I think, to remember that God has placed us in partnership with him to bring his kingdom in, his kingdom values. We say in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're looking for. That's what God's looking for. His kingdom to be, and his rule and his reign to be here on earth as it is in heaven. So we're in partnership with him. It's his will. It's our will. But we have to be aware of the enemy's will. We have an enemy. He's real. And he is trying to stop God's kingdom coming in. And I was reading about Daniel this week and how he was in crisis, and he prayed to God, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and he kept on praying and nothing seemed to happen. And eventually God God's angel met him and said that he'd heard his prayer on the very first day, but the enemy had prevented him from coming to help Daniel. So that is real. So why should we pray? Why should we ask God when we pray? Because asking brings us into line with God's plan and God's purposes. There's a verse that says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And the sense of that verse is that it's a continuous present tense. We keep on asking. We keep on waiting. We keep on knocking. And eventually God will answer. We might not see the answer here on while we're alive on this planet, but God hears our prayers. We can be sure of that. And I heard this great analogy as well about a guy who lived in this swamp and he wanted a bit more land. So every day he went out and he threw a rock into the swamp and nothing happened. The rock just sank to the bottom. And the next day he went and he threw another rock in and nothing happened. The rock just sank to the bottom. And eventually the rock went clunk and the rock stayed on the surface. And he kept on doing that and he reclaimed some land that was swamp. And I thought that was quite a good kind of thing. So let's not stop one rock too soon, shall we? So asking is relational. God is always interested in relationship. He's always interested in what's going on in our lives. And he will express what's going on in his heart about what's going on in our lives. Asking is vulnerable, isn't it? It expresses trust. It expresses that we need help. Some people find it very hard to ask for help. Put my hand up to that one. But sometimes you do need help. And that is a vulnerable place to be. And it's a good place to be. And asking is intentional. It engages our will with God's will. We're intentionally doing something about it. So again, We're gonna actually practically do some asking now. And so here is a bit that's maybe slightly scary for you. I'm going to invite you to get out of your seats and maybe go to somewhere else in the building. So we thought it'd be really good to pray for our world in general. So in this corner over here, we've got a nice map of the world. There's a little bit about Japan. We've had John Newton Webb with us a few weeks ago and talked about Japan, and there's some stuff there from him. There's a bit about the New Zealand Earth volcanic eruption. We can pray for that. There's also lots of other stuff. Liz is prompting me. Jordan, yeah, with Justin and Georgie who came recently. And so if you'd like to, there's going to be some stuff on the screen anyway, but if you'd like to, you can go to that corner and just spend some time asking God about the world and what his will is for these areas of the world, various regions. There's lots of trouble around the world. There's lots of poverty. There's lots of injustice. There's lots of war. There's the environmental crisis that we're all hearing about a lot. So that's that corner. So feel free to go to that corner. This corner over here, there's some newspaper headlines about our very recent time we had on Thursday, which were some of those headlines may be quite challenging to you, but we're encouraged in God's word to pray for our leaders, people in government, people who God has put there as leaders of this country. And that is probably for some of you going to be a really big challenge to pray for those people. But we're encouraged to do that. So if you'd like to challenge yourself, go to that corner and pray for our government and the world of politics. And then there's a tree over there on the wall. And on the table below it is some sort of bauble-shaped post-it notes. And that is an area to go and pray for our church family, your family, your friends, people who you might know who are struggling at the moment. Just to bring those to God. And if you'd like to write something, stick a bauble on the tree, that would look good. So I think we're going to do that now. And I'm going to give you sort of 5 or so minutes. You can move around to all three of those. You can just sit where you are. Luke, can you stick that? I think it's slide 3 on the screen. Yeah, so we've talked about this. There's a great phrase, this phrase Maranatha, which means come Lord Jesus. And as we look towards Christmas and prepare our hearts, let's think about that, about the coming of Jesus as we pray into these three areas. And you've got 5 minutes to move around or just concentrate on the screen and just pray where you're sitting. But I'd really like to encourage you to move.
Jason. Okay, we're going to sing again. If you're still praying or praying by doing craft or whatever, that's fine. Please carry on. We're going to sing together The Lion and the Lamb. I really love this song because for me it just encompasses a lot about who God is and who Jesus is and why he came. And as we say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, into all these different areas that we've been praying for, we're trusting him and we're making ourselves vulnerable and asking him to come. And that can be really difficult. But we're waiting with hope. It's really important as we pray not to give up hope that God will, he will come and he will listen to us. Father, we thank you that you will not be stopped, that you are almighty, that you know everything, you know all that is in our hearts, you know all the things that trouble us, Lord, you know the things which we struggle to give over to you, Lord, as we continue just to lift all these things to us, to you, Lord, would you help us? Help us to trust you. Father, I just ask for a fresh touch from your Holy Spirit this morning. That if those of us who struggle to trust you, who struggle to really let go of everything that we hold so tightly, Lord, help us to let those things go to you. Help us to trust you to carry things that we're concerned about, people that we worry about, situations in the world and in our nation that trouble us, Lord. We lift them to you and we ask you to come, Lord Jesus. Help us to give you our whole hearts. Lord, we wait with hope because we know you are coming back, Lord Jesus. We know we're not, this isn't it. This isn't even really our home. Lord, you have called us to a better place that we can be with you there when you come back, Lord Jesus. Would you help us to be brave and bold in sharing that good news that you are the King of Kings and that you demand our whole lives and our whole hearts, whether we're 5 years old or 95 or somewhere in between, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're just moving from kind of asking into yielding. It's a funny, quite old-fashioned English word, so for those of us that aren't necessarily scholars in language, we can also use it to say yes to Jesus. So we've paused, we've rejoiced, we've asked God, and now we're going to say yes. This is really hard. It's hard, isn't it, to say yes to God? Is it just me that finds it difficult to say yes to God all the time? Okay, good. There are some. Thank you. And a bit like the rejoicing, they're really linked together, because actually when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying we're going to worship you with our whole lives, no matter how we feel, no matter what's going on. And we're just going to say yes to you and to your plans, God, not our plans, to your purposes, not our purposes, to your agenda, not our agenda. And that is extremely difficult in every area of our lives. So just really practically, you're just going to take, because it's got to be practical. It doesn't happen otherwise, does it? They're laughing, the youth are laughing, because I say it every week at youth. Practically, how are we going to do that this week? It just doesn't really happen otherwise. So just for a moment, I just want you to just think about something. God will probably just drop something in right now. So something that you're struggling maybe to give over to him, something that is difficult to trust him with, something in your heart, something that you're thinking about, a person maybe, a situation. I just want you to, all you need to do is ask him to help you. So he doesn't leave us on our own. He wants to help us. So we even need God to need him, if you see what I mean. It's really important that we rely on him completely, because we can't do it in our own strength. But with him, all things are possible. So we just want you to hold that thought for a minute, something that's difficult to say yes to Jesus to, or a person that you're worried about, or a situation. And I'm just going to pray over us. So, Father God, would you come by your Spirit? Would you enable us to trust you? Would you give us the grace and the strength to give everything over to you, our whole hearts? And if we haven't even said yes to you yet, Lord Jesus, may it be this morning, as we think about your coming, Lord Jesus, that we think about how you came to come into these situations in our lives, Lord, into our hearts. Would we say yes to you completely? Just pray for anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, that they would not leave here today not knowing you, that you would come and do a new work in us, Lord, and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to encourage you to keep giving that over. Somebody once explained to me it's quite helpful. It's a little bit like having something on a piece of elastic, so we can give it to God, but then every now and again we want to sort of pull it back. So we have to keep giving it to him. And that's really difficult. So when we say yes to Jesus, things don't always go our way. Things don't always look how we thought they were going to look. I did not think that I would end up living as far away from the sea that you can get, because I grew up near Brighton. I spent all my school holidays in Cornwall. If it was up to me, I would live in Cornwall. It is not up to me. And I love Coventry. but when we yield to him, when we say yes to him, it's that, what else are we going to do? Like the disciples said to Jesus, where else are we going to go? Who else has the words of eternal life? So it's Jesus. He's the one that we're saying yes to. So it's so exciting. When you give your life over to him, everything changes. But it's just like seeing things clearly for the first time. And that is so, so exciting. So we've got a couple of activities. And we're going to spend a little bit of time kind of contemplating. If you would rather stay in here, that's absolutely fine. But we are going to invite people kind of in groups to come and look at the prayer space. Even if you think you won't ever go in it again, it's okay. I understand that not everyone kind of gets the vision yet. Our hope is that the prayer space will be somewhere that will be somewhere where we can kind of intentionally go. You can go as often or as little as you like. We'll explain all the booking and stuff later, but it's just a way of getting ourselves out of the busyness of everyday life and spending some quality time with God. And our hope is that it will grow over time, so people will kind of catch the vision. They'll understand what it's really about, that it isn't anything special. I know you don't have to go to a room to pray. You can pray wherever you want, but there is something There is definitely something about intentionally going somewhere and being obedient to God and making that time. I find it really difficult to make time if I'm not somewhere else other than my house. So, okay, we've got a couple of things to do. So we can stay in here if you want to. Please come and have a look in the prayer room. There are some things that you can take home to help you at home as well. And then we've also got some bookmarks from that Ian's done from Psalm 136, which are really lovely, which are the bits where it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. And then on the back, you can write your own kind of things in there. And then we're still saying his steadfast love endures forever, no matter what situations are happening, and things you want to give over to him. Okay. Got about 5 minutes, have we? Okay, 5 minutes. So if you want to get in the prayer room, you better be quick. That's it. Okay. So please move if you can. If you need help moving, just stick your hand up and I'll come and help you. That would be great. Go. Okay. If anybody would still like to go and see the prayer room afterwards, let me know, and you're more than welcome to go and have a little look. Did you not have a look? Okay, so just as people come back in, some people. The people basically aren't going to leave there now because it's so exciting in there. They're so excited to be in there, we actually seriously can't get them out. So, okay. we're going to sing another song in a moment. We're going to pray together in a moment before we do that. But I just wanted to just say how faithful God has been through this whole process. So, yeah, basically years and years ago, there was an idea to have the space and there wasn't anywhere to put it. Then we got a space to put stuff in there. Oh, Ben, that's extremely loud. and then we didn't have any stuff. So the youth have been busy painting.
Rich, come on.
Sorry, thank you. So the youth have been painting, loads of people have come, like Karen's helped, the kindnesses have helped, loads and loads of people, sorry if I haven't said you. So Tanya bumped into somebody from Coventry Prayer House in town who said, we're downsizing to 2 rooms, would you like any of our furniture? We said, yes please, we would like some furniture. And then we said, God, we haven't got any money. Somebody has gifted us quite a substantial amount of money, which is incredible. So I just wanted to thank God and to say witness really to how much of this is his thing, it's his provision, and he's very, very good. So,
what's that? Are we doing the prayer?
Yeah. We're going to pray together. You're going to do this bit.
We're actually going to sing first, I think. Yeah, let's sing first. So, musicians, sorry, you're up. You can see we've rehearsed this really well. So we're going to sing one final song. Behold Our God, brilliant song. And then we're going to just have a closing prayer. And then I'm going to tell you about the logistics of how you can book a slot in the room at the back there. Thanks, guys.
Who has numbered every grain?
Really like it if you could join me and pray this prayer as we close our time together today. So let's have a go at this. Jesus, thank you for not abandoning me to the mess of my own making. Thank you for joining me in the muck and marvel of this life. I choose to keep you, not myself, at the front of my mind throughout this Christmas time. And I choose to be ready to share with others the story of God with us. Amen. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen. Bless you all. Thanks for coming. So, we said we'd tell you about the logistics of booking a slot in the room at the back there. And you'll see round the building some posters that look like this. And it explains a little bit about how it works. Basically, there's an online form. There's a link on that bit of paper which gets you to that online form. And you have to fill in your email address and pick a slot that you want to do. That could be 3 o'clock in the morning, it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or any other time in between. There are some blanked out spaces. That's generally when stuff is going on here. So you can't book for those slots, I'm afraid. So if you want to book a slot, go online, fill in your name and email address and the amount of hours you want to spend in there, 1 hour upwards, and you will get two emails. The first email will say, thank you for booking a slot, and will give you a reminder of the time. Then you'll get another email the day before, which will tell you all the sort of logistical things about how to gain access to that room. It's fairly straightforward, and it involves going to the far side of the church and going through a gate there and finding a key from a secret location and getting into the room with that key. And then when you leave, if nobody comes to take over from you, locking up after yourselves. So if you have any trouble with that, or if you're not really an online person and all that stuff scares the pants off you, come and see either me or Liz or Kerry. Where's Kerry? Kerry's at the back there. She's kindly volunteered to help get you a slot booked. Okay, isn't that everything? Okay, thank you everybody. Don't forget, next Sunday we're going to be really fully celebrating Christmas in all its goodness and all its amazing beauty. There's an all-age, again, all-together service in the morning, which Lou is organising. And then in the evening, 6:30, is that right? I think it's 6:30. There's a carol service in next Sunday evening. It's in the notices, I'm sure. I haven't read the notices. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everybody. It is 6:30. I was right.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.